Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with the Levi Solicitors, who will offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/the square ball. Three of us here to discuss a historic meeting between two sides who have recently met in the Premier League.
That's the one. A meeting that was in very different circumstances.
Name the two clubs, please, Michael.
Brighton and Hove Albion and Leeds United.
That's three clubs.
Hey,
there we go. So we are going back to 2009, January 2009, no less, for the TSB guide to Brighton 0 Leeds 2.
Exciting stuff. As always with these things.
Let me ask you, can I ask the question?
Go on.
Where were Leeds United?
Oh, we were knackered, would you believe? Absolutely on our ass.
On the bones of our ass?
Pretty much. Was this a low point? This season.
There were many, weren't there?
There were a lot of. I mean, arguably minus 15 the year before may have been worse. But
so this is the second year of League One, is it?
Yes. So this is 6 or 7 weeks after we've lost to Histon. Gary McAllister has been sacked following a 3-1 defeat at MK Dons. Simon Grayson is now in charge. Whee, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're at the moment, this point, we're kind of floundering around, still trying to get out of League One. So Grayson was put in charge for the Boxing Day game, and then he's had another couple since then. We beat Stockport, we've lost to Carlisle. This is when Carlisle were good as well, which is a weird thing that you have to factor in when talking about Leeds in League One, that like they had a good team.
They were better than us, basically, weren't they, for a bit?
For a bit, yeah.
I mean, when do we play them in the Premier League this season? Is it presumably coming up, I guess? That rivalry's continued
so young,
as well.
So young, so naive, Rob. They're not in the Premier League.
Oh, really?
Does that come as a surprise
to you?
They
were so good in League One. How?
They were. Michael Bridges scored against us, in fact, in that the Carlisle defeat, just to add another weird layer of...
That's confusing, because he was dead good for us.
Yeah, and then he was doing pretty well for Carlisle, but in a terrible league with shattered knees. But anyway, he was still good enough to score against us, mainly because we had people like Mansour Assoumani playing for us at this point, which was Gary McAllister's final day, was putting Assoumani in at centre back, having just signed him on trial. It didn't go well. I think MK Don scored twice from corners within about the first 20 minutes of that game, and it was fairly clear he needed to go. So that's where we were.
Yep. So we weren't in a great place. Brighton, in a very literal sense, weren't in a great place either, whether they were in like a little ramshackle athletic stadium.
Yeah, there's a fair tale.
Before American Express got their filthy claws into them.
Yeah, the tale of Brighton's ownership is actually worse than ours at this point, because they were in the 90s, they were in some debt, and they were bought out by some people called Bill Archer and Greg Stanley, who were focused DIY people. So they'd made the money in that.
We actually saved Brighton from extinction at one point, didn't we, by buying Mark Beeney from them as our second goalkeeper.
Yeah, so that we'd done our best to help them out. But around that same time then, so they owed about 800 grand. These new owners came in and borrowed money against the ground to pay off those debts, essentially.
The famous Goldstone Ground.
The Goldstone Ground, which they'd been at for 95 years at that point. At the same time as this is going on, they're very, very nearly going out of the Football League. They were completely miraculously saved on the final day of the season. I think at one point there were 13 points adrift, I was reading, and they managed to, eventually on the last day, they beat Hereford, and Hereford went down in their place. At the same time as they're just about staying up, they are in their final season at the Goldstone Ground. Their owners, who have agreed to sell it, have no plan for where they're going to play their games next season.
Strikes me as a problem for a football club, that.
It was, indeed. And so they ended up starting the next season, and indeed the season after, playing games at Gillingham, which I don't know if you know geography-wise, but it's not very near Brighton.
That is not close, is it?
No, it's 70 miles away. So it's the equivalent to Leeds playing our games in Nottingham.
Bloody hell.
which is not ideal. So they did eventually manage to get rid of Bill Archer and were taken over by someone called Dick Knight, which is a great name.
Good solid name.
Yeah. Who had done the Wonderbra adverts.
Right. Did he star in them?
No, I think he came up with the idea.
Right.
I guess the ones that said Hello Boys, do you remember? They're quite famous at the time. So they were, even with him in charge and his local consortium, they were still stuck in Gillingham. It was that bad, they even tried to move to Millwall at one point.
Right.
I was reading, because it was only like...
Nothing's that bad, is it?
It was only 40 miles from Brighton or something. So that's how they ended up eventually back in Brighton. So this is good. These are good times for Brighton based on the years that had gone before. But they end up back in Brighton in 1999, but their old ground has gone because it's been turned into a retail park, I think, by this stage. But they're in this dodgy little athletic stadium, which we're now playing them in. They had done all right, actually, once they got rid of the bad owners. Mickey Adams and Peter Taylor had both done well for them at points, and they've kind of been up as high as the Championship, and they've come back to League One. It was Mickey Adams actually back at the club at this point where we're playing them. So they were kind of stabilising, and they'd had people in charge who were not, I was going to say the word crooks, but let's not call them that, who were not...
But I think it's fine to say that the people in charge
focused
are not crooks.
Yeah. Who were not focused on lining their own pockets as opposed to, you know, helping the team.
So capacity on this stadium, I'm just looking at the pictures of it now, just under 7,000, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a football stadium.
I mean, to be fair, because the photo you've put on the prep sheet here, it's nice and sunny. It sort of looks like where Leeds would play in pre-season, like in Germany or something. You think, oh, this is a nice setting for a game of football.
But then, we were in the bleak midwinter, weren't
we? Yeah, exactly, when it's England and it's January and it's awful.
Yeah, I mean, there was one covered stand in the whole place. The rest of it was made up of, I mean, I don't know what the original capacity of it was, but I'm guessing like 1,000 maybe or something, because it's one small stand down the side. Running track, you've still got like the long jump pit and everything. It was an active athletic stadium, so they've put these temporary stands.
Footballers having to duck javelins flying past their heads all the time.
So you can see on this picture, they've actually still got like the cage up for the hammer throwing. I don't know if that was there permanently, but if you're trying to look around that, but they're sort of temporary stands you get like if you did golf or something on telly when they just kind of chuck some stuff up.
Or at Gillingham, for example.
Or at Gillingham. Yeah, so God, you've got to feel sorry for them, actually. They'd booted out of one ground, forced to play 70 miles away, although it's the away end at Gillingham that's made out of scaffolding, in fairness. Yeah. But it does look nice. Now, you've sold it to me, actually, Rob. It looks lovely, all the trees in the background and stuff. Yeah, it's nice. But yeah, the view, I found a picture of from one end, from Getty Images. You can't see a thing.
No.
You're an absolute mile away from everything.
It's just, I mean, it's just like the Olympic Stadium in Berlin in many ways, minus the roof, the capacity, the history, you know.
Yeah, similar. I don't think Hitler ever did any speeches at the Withdean.
No.
Which was probably for the best. But it was actually only, I've been trying to find out exactly when they were in and out of grounds. It was only voted the fourth worst ground in Britain at the time, with Gillingham, which where they'd been stuck for 2 years before, was the worst.
Ah, so, right. So
they're moving up.
Yeah, just about. And Kenilworth Road and Millmore, which is another one that's actually shut down, hasn't it?
So Kenilworth Road, Luton, Millmore, Rotherham, which had a scrapyard next to it and backed onto like the away end, didn't it? You could see like the cranes and all the piled up cars and stuff.
I quite like Millmore. I thought it was all right.
They had character, didn't it? Had character. To the game.
Gillingham, yeah, I did enjoy the description of it making Middlesbrough look like Monte Carlo as one of the one of the things there. But yes, on to the game.
To the game, Leeds United lining up with Kasper Ankergren in goal, who played for Brighton, didn't he, for a little while. Fraser Richardson, Rui Marquez, Sex Machine, Richard Naylor, Carl Dickinson.
Richard Naylor recently arrived on loan from Ipswich at this point.
Young Fab Delph, Johnny Douglas, Andy Hughes, Bradley Johnson, Luciano Becchio, and Lee Trundle.
I remember being so excited when we signed Lee Trundle. He was like the Football League Ronaldinho, wasn't he? I remember actually recently, it might have been when Graham Smith first started reporting on Leeds, and there was a tweet of like Lee Trundle's highlights. And he retweeted it, being like, oh, this guy played for Leeds in League One. He must have been ace. And I think he got a lot of angry replies, being like, no, don't talk about Lee Trundle.
On the bench, we had David Lucas, Lubomir Mikulic, Johnny Howson, Andy Robinson, and Malcolm Christie.
Strange old days. There are a few names you'd recognise in the Brighton side as well, probably. John Sullivan, the goalkeeper. Never heard of him. No. But
isn't he the guy who wrote Only Fools and Horses?
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. Adam Virgo, he kicked around for quite a few years afterwards, didn't he? And so did
John's brother.
Tommy Elphick as well. He was at Huddersfield last season, I want to say, or some season. But yeah, he was around for ages. And then on the bench, they have Glenn Murray.
Kevin McLeod, is that the guy who does Grand Designs?
Yeah, it was quite a mixture of team they had at this point.
Yeah, quite a lot of people in TV, which comes as a bit of a surprise. Tell me about this Leeds team then, this Carl Dickinson's debut. I mean, Carl Dickinson, was he the one who looked like a psychopath?
He was, I'm pretty certain he was a psychopath, right. Yeah. He was,
in your opinion?
He was a very intense man, is what I'll say. But yeah, we had previously Alan Sheehan as our left-back, so he's in.
Alan Sheehan always had the sort of vibes of somebody who was in a mid-2000s like indie band.
Mm. Where was he recently, Alan Sheehan?
Notts County, was it?
Oh, I don't know, actually.
He was assistant manager somewhere.
Was it Luton? Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember. His name's cropped up recently anyway. But yeah, so Carl Dickinson, solidifying things at the back. Richard Nail is already in. He's doing a good job, better than Paul Telfer, stroke Mansour Assoumani, who were our previous attempts at some defensive solidity.
You're right, he was working with Jones at Luton.
Now there you go, and presumably Southampton as well. Then that's where I'll have seen his name.
Absolutely correct.
Carl Dickinson still playing, by the way.
It's because no one can tell him to stop.
Stratford Town, if anyone's interested.
Good lad. He was like the OG Erasmus, wasn't he?
he was a little bit. He did. He had an alright career. I'm just looking at his. They played for Port Vale, so Moscow will hate him. So we'll just not mention his Port Vale and Stoke. In fact, on the one CV, the hate that's.
He's a traitor then.
Yeah.
You get him told.
Rob said that. Carl, I think you're a good servant to Leeds United in the 7 games you played. But yeah, Lee Trundle, it was his first start.
Right. Yeah, I had hopes for Trundle as well because he was a name, wasn't he? He was a known quantity.
He was a Soccer AM player, wasn't he? Because he used to do stuff for Swansea.
Yeah, he was good at Swansea. Level.
And then this is the unsuccessful spell at Bristol that he had that meant we got him. Didn't particularly work out well for him, but at this point, it still might. He'd come off the bench in the previous game against Carlisle. And some exciting flair player to have in League One.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Speaking of flair players, there is one real standout moment from this game, the one that everyone talks about, the one that everyone remembers, the penalty that we were awarded after 10 minutes.
Absolutely no memory of this happening. I was watching the highlights and I was taken aback by the fact we got a penalty and missed it in this game. I don't know why, I've just completely ignored the fact that this happened. But it's an awful penalty taken by Becchio. I know he'd later Panenka on against Barnsley, but this is straight down the middle with no power. And Sullivan, fresh from his writing,
only falls on
his legs to it.
Yeah, this time next year. Although he does get a good assist for the first goal, does Luciano, which is a good thing.
It's quite a nice goal, actually, the first one. And it's a sign of things to come with Trundle. Oh, it's quite a clever bit of movement from him.
Truns.
Nice partnership going between them.
This is what we're expecting, wasn't it? It's a lovely turn and finish. Sends the defender the wrong way, doesn't he? It's all good. It's going to be great for us now.
Yeah, it runs to sort of near the away fans. Kind of, it looks like he's going to go over to the away fans. Then he sort of just
miles away. So I remember when Chelsea used to have the big void.
The car park.
The void in the car park, yeah. It's like, and was it when we looked back on the Match Ball 30, which you can find, by the way, in your feed? I can't remember who it was. Carl Schutt, wasn't it? He scored at Chelsea and set off running. It took him about 5 minutes to get to the away fans who were some way off in the distance.
But I mean, that's the Lee Trundle goal. It's basically all we can remember him for at Leeds, and missing a penalty and then being shouted at. That was his Leeds career.
Being shouted at.
Being shouted at Hereford.
Not the first nor the last player to get shouted at by the Leeds fans.
No. But the thing that everyone remembers from the game was to come. Fabian Delph.
Young Fab Delph. Talk me through it. Rob, I mean, is this not your golden era of supporting Leeds when you first started to remember it and these icons stuck in your brain?
I mean, I do have a lot of love for this team. There's loads of players in there that we're all just genuinely fond of. I mean, Delph, there was always the thing of, he's just too good, isn't he? Like, as soon as he got in the team, it's like, right, well, he's going to leave soon. It's a bit like that with Lewis Cook and players like that. But yeah, beautiful goal, albeit maybe someone should try tackling him.
Yeah, it's a weird goal, because normally if you run the length of the pitch, you'd think someone might try and stop you at some point. But he's just, I think he's really quick and no one can really catch up with him. And then by the time he gets to the edge of the box, he's like, well,
come this far,
put in the top corner then, shall I?
There is the defender that's closest to him, or the Brighton player that's closest to him when he first gets the ball in the Leeds half, is a bit of a clogger. And just seeing him trying to catch up with Fab Delph is really painful, bless him.
Yeah, if people only saw Fab Delph in his, even Man City days, he'd lost a bit of pace, but or maybe it was just the pace of League One made him look really quick.
And the fact they'd not had horrific knee injuries by this point, maybe.
But like, he was really quick as a young player, and he was much more attack-minded than he would later become. Like, at Man City, he ended up playing left-back, didn't he? And then he was kind of a holding midfielder, if anything, but he was doing this sort of stuff all the time in League One, and he was so good. He was
one of those that you knew, didn't you, when you saw him?
Oh, I mean, without any, you know, wishing to be massively offensive to anyone else in this team, like, people like Jonathan Douglas and Andy Hughes, like, workman-like midfielders, but they'd see someone like Delph just get the ball and set off with it, and you just think, God, he's so much better than everyone else on this pitch.
The only other one you can hold a candle to him is Carl Dickinson, obviously.
Dicko.
Oh, Dicko. Big,
yeah. Big Dicko. That's what everyone called him. And if Moscow was here, obviously Becchio would be the other kind of world-class future international. He was robbed, of course, of his Argentina caps, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, Fab Delph was just magnificent in this period. It was kind of the thing that Gary McAllister was credited for, was making Fab Delph good. But I think maybe Fab Delph was just good anyway. I think he might have been good under anyone. He was probably, in truth, the one player who was roughly at Gary McAllister's level in this squad, because the criticism was that when he was in charge, they couldn't do any of the stuff that he was asking them to do because they weren't as good as Gary McAllister, whereas Fab Delph was. And I was roundly mocked at work for always going in and saying how good he was. And people were going, oh, you fancy, you're so in love with it. But I go, yeah, I am actually. So what? I've watched some absolute fucking shit up to this point. So yes, it's nice to watch a good footballer. I'm glad you all pretend to support Premier League teams.
He made a lot of appearances, didn't he, this season? Like somewhere in the region of 50.
Oh, he ran him into the ground. Probably contributed to his injuries that would come for him later in his career. But yeah, we did absolutely flog him. Loads of yellow cards too, which was nice.
Oh, it was good. 13 this season, was it? And six goals. You wouldn't associate Delph with that, would you?
No, well, that's the thing. He was an attacking player in this team.
He did a lot of just getting the ball and shooting from long range, and it got in the bottom corner. Mm. You think, oh, yeah, like you say, he's just better than everyone else. Just do that all the time, mate. I mean, the celebration is great with Becchio bending down on one knee and doing the boot cleaning celebration. What I really like about it is that Becchio kneels down, and without any sort of communication, Delph just puts his boot on his knee. Like, yeah, I know what you're doing, quite right as well.
We all know what's happening here.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get it done. And Grayson had some nice things to say about him as well.
He said, well, this was already a sign of where things were going. If he scores goals like that, his value is going to go up. It certainly won't go down. And
is that Bates whispering in his ear?
Pretty much. You'll get to spend that money, Simon, if we sell him.
Simon's war chest.
If you sell him,
it'll go into your war chest.
Yeah. The war chest. The Fabian Delph cladding, as it later became. But we did actually, we're still in January at this point, so we could have sold him in this January, but we didn't. So that was something. Cheers, Ken, for that.
Of course, Brighton didn't go anywhere from here, did they? So that's the end of the show.
Yeah, Tony Bloom took over later that year. Gus Poyet a year after.
I never quite knew this until looking into this, that Bloom took over when they were in such dire straits.
Mm, I mean, they were sort of stable at this point, but they'd been taken over by people who were just trying to get it out of the hands of the bad men.
Yeah.
And then Tony Bloom came in and the plans for the stadium came in, got promoted to the Premier League, scouting people, buying good players.
And this stuck in the craw as well, that they got promoted from League One under Gus Poyet. Now, we'd gone up by that point, but people had always been saying when Wise was here, Poyet's the brains of this operation. It's like, see?
That's because everyone hated Wise. Yeah. I need to not give him credit for anything.
Absolutely.
He got us down, and then Gus Poyet got us sort of...
I mean, even though Poyet was a Chelsea bastard as well, he was like the least worst of the Chelsea bastards, wasn't he?
He was an entertaining Chelsea bastard, wasn't he? Yeah. Dennis Wise was just a spiteful Chelsea bastard.
Yeah, he never like assaulted taxi drivers or punched anyone when they were asleep or any of that sort of stuff that, that Dennis Wise did.
Just stick to the convictions, Michael.
He did those things. It's funny, actually, looking back at the stadium stuff for Brighton, I did find, because there was some controversy around it being in, because it's quite rural, it's on the edge of, it's not really in Brighton again, it's kind of out on a...
Is it in Hove?
It's not, it's in Farmer, which is, well, you can see from the picture, there's some fields and trees by the edge of it. But it's funny to see the original drawings of it versus how it actually looked, because the original drawing, it's sort of, and the description of it, is it, if it like blended into the landscape beautifully?
Let's read the flowery language.
Can I do it? Go on, this is Dick Knight.
It has been designed to blend into the natural environment. It is moulded into the hills, sculpted into the landscape, as smoothly curved as a Henry Moore. In fact, the only square lines are the pitch. I want to call it the beautiful stadium.
It's just a stadium, isn't it now?
But I'm just looking at a photo of it here. Where is it? I can't see it.
I'll come around and find out. It's really hard to spot, isn't it, blended into the landscape, taking the name of Henry Moore, Castleford's finest, in vain there. But yeah, the computer generated image makes it look like it's got a transparent roof and green stuff, and it does almost fold in to at the edges, like there's hardly any height on the outer stands.
Yeah, but what they've actually done is just chuck a lot of standard roof cladding on, haven't they, in the end?
Yeah, it just
probably cheaper,
like, just looks like a stadium in the end. Yeah. A fine stadium. Like perfectly adequate, nothing wrong with it.
A bit of green would have gone. It'd have done it a bit better, wouldn't it? Like actually blending in rather than just.
I quite
a
like those
stadium.
Those natural roofs you can get now with wildflowers on. Look quite cool. Stick it on when we do our football stadium in Beeston. Put some wildflowers on the roof when that gets redeveloped. It'll fit back into the natural landscape of Beeston Hill, then, won't it?
Make it blend into the M621 effortlessly. Put cars on it.
Could do.
Oh, so anyway, that was Brighton. They were fine. Well done.
Are you proud of yourselves?
Well done you. But the rest of that season for us sort of got better. It's weird under Grayson because it was going fairly well and people thought Richard Naylor came in, Dicko came in. It felt like we were sorting stuff out. And then within a week, we'd lost to Huddersfield and Hereford and everyone hated everything again, which was a bit of a weird twist. But then from that point, we'd had a really good run to the end of the season, lost one in 15. And then Millwall in the playoffs.
Although that goal, Ellen Road shook.
The Becchio. That can be its own.
I was going to say that's a TSB guide all of its own, isn't it? So we did get promoted the season after, at least, anyway.
We did.
And young Fab Delph did all right for himself?
Yeah, he won everything, didn't he? That year he won the Football League Young Player of the Year, which was all the football leagues, not just the League One bit of it. He won Goal of the Season, he won Young Player of the Year and Player's Player of the Year at Leeds United as well. And then he left.
Oh, went to Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted him, didn't they, at that point?
Fabian Delph is not for sale, but he definitely was.
He definitely was.
We did get him back for a little bit on loan when Aston Villa had broken him.
I think we broke him again, didn't we?
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah.
That reminds me of the time that I loaned my strimmer to the people who were next door but one, and it came back broken. Never did offer to repair it, you know. Just gave me it back.
Sad business. Yeah. Did it? The strimmer go on to get England caps?
It didn't. It went to the tip.
Fair enough. But yeah, he did. He did pretty well for himself. Won some stuff at Man City. Well done, Fabian.
Yeah, none of that stuff.
It was nice to have you for a season.
And in the England squad as well. At the same time, when he was at Man City, did all right for himself, didn't he?
I was genuinely pleased to see him play for England because that year I described at work of people mocking me for constantly talking about Fab Delph.
Yeah,
I was. Spend a lot of time going, he'll play for England. He's so good, honestly. He'll be in the England team soon.
And when he did you charge around the office going, I told you, even though it's not ours anymore.
The truth knows, no one cared by that point. But I know I was right. I think I also probably said similar things about like AD White and Sam Byram, but you know.
Jack Clark,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've got a bad record on these things, but I was right about Fab Delph.
And that's all that matters.
And that goal he scored at Brighton will be a thing we can always look at.
And there you go, the square ball guide to Brighton 0 Leeds 2, January 2009. Done and dusted for you. Thanks for joining us. We'll speak to you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.